3, 2, 1. That's right. You're listening to the It's My Time podcast, a recording of the experiences, past and present, of everyday people.
Yes, indeed. Yes,
and now, here's your host,
you know who it is,
the one, the only, Asher Chua.
Welcome to the podcast, ladies. This is a great, how would I say, honor for me. And to introduce you to the audience, take a turn, each of you. Who do you say you are? Let's start with Miss Marilyn.
I am Marilyn from Maryland. And I've had the honor of traveling to the Holy Land with these two wonderful people and just can't wait to share that with you.
Awesome. Miss Cora.
Hi, my name is Cora and I'm from Philadelphia. And yes, we went to the Holy Land and we had absolute positive, awesome time. And I can't wait to give you all the awesome detail. Thank you.
Hello, everybody. I am Vicki Robertson. I am coming in from Huntsville, Alabama. Greetings to you. Glad to be on this podcast. And I cannot wait to share with you the wonders of our travel to Israel.
Awesome. And as you all indicated, what brings us on the call is your trip to Israel and what that experience was like. So let me know, what drove you to go to Israel? How did the trip get planned?
Well, the trip was planned through KTT, Know the Truth Ministries. And for me, I just happened to be at church volunteering. And one of the KTT leaders mentioned that a trip was coming up. And I was like, oh, wow. You know, I have always wanted to go to Israel and had never been. And so the opportunity presented itself and I prayed over it. And then I called him up and said, OK, I'm ready to go. And so that's how I got to that point. I had not planned on it. God just put everything in place and I was able to make it.
Awesome. Go ahead.
And for me, I've had Israel on my list for some time to go and just follow in the footsteps of Christ. And so I got a call from the mission director that's over KTT asking me, basically telling me, isn't it time for you to go? Don't you think God has opened the door? You know, you may just want to pray about it and come on in this time. So I said, okay, I'll pray. And I did. And the Lord says, yeah, this door is open. Run through it. Run through it. Mm-hmm. And I did. So glad about it.
Awesome.
My findings getting into this trip, I had been talking with Pastor Robinson for several years saying, okay, I'm going. And finally I said, okay, this year I am going. And I talked to my children about it. And for my birthday present, they paid for me to go and have a good time. And that I did.
Nice.
Scooter and all. Yes.
So I guess, how do you each know each other?
Believe it or not, I didn't know either of them. We actually met at the airport.
All met at the airport.
Yeah.
Wow.
Absolutely. Yep.
And we connected as we went on the journey.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It was like the Lord put us together.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Marilyn was my roomie. And I had to pray a lot that I didn't spoil her outlook on life.
I had the best roomie ever.
It's funny, like being able to have chance encounters like that, you each having the vision to go on the trip and then meeting each other on the trip. And then afterwards, still being able to not only stand each other, but want to do a podcast and share your experiences. I think it's a great thing because I met Marilyn on a similar trip, not going to Israel, but in DC, closer to her hometown, and wanting to get exposure to real estate. And what's funny is that a year later, me going through my contacts and trying to reconnect, because once the world shut down in 2020, and it was just like, well, okay, maybe I should tap back into the world and look into this podcasting thing I've been doing. And it's like, oh yeah, Marilyn was, it's like that one person I met at the event that connected with and being able to dialogue with. And we titled our episode, We're Still Here. So it's like we made it.
Oh, yes. Awesome.
And now it seems like we've grown with two more friends.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Awesome. So I guess walk me through it. What was you met at the airport? And then from there, that's the airport going or the airport once you've already arrived in Israel?
We met at the airport going to. So we were all on the same flight and we flew into Canada. And then we flew from Canada to Israel. And I just have to say, even from the very beginning, everything was peaceful. Everything was just orderly. Yeah. We didn't have any issues. The flight was smooth. You know, this was meant to be. I think this was meant to be for all of us.
I agree. Wherever I'm going, the trip to the Holy Land, missions trips, wherever I'm going, before I even say, okay, I'm going, I say, God, if it's your will, I'll go. So each step of the way, when I'm paying, I say, I'm sending the money, God, just so you know, if it's your will, I'm going. But if I don't have money to go, then that means I'm not going. That means he said no. So I always ask him first, wherever I'm going, whatever I'm going to do, I ask his permission first to make sure it's his will and not mine.
I agree. I agree with both of those ladies. My experience was when we arrived in Tel Aviv, I'm telling you all, the peace, we don't know peace until you go to Israel. It was such a peace hovering over that nation. I mean, you could feel it. You could sense it. It was everywhere. It was like you just kind of entered into a different place. Like, okay, pinch me, somebody. Is this real? It was a presence of the Lord that is not like any other country, and I've been to several that I've been to. It was an instant connection to the Lord. It was like, wow. And even day one, it was like the scriptures begin to just live. You knew that God had chosen. I hope I'm making sense. Yep. You knew that God had chosen Israel as his holy nation. It was prevalent. It was evident to me. My spirit was in agreement on everything. And that was just getting off the airport and just walking out.
I agree. I wholeheartedly agree.
Yes.
Once we landed, it was, even on the flight, it was a peace that just overcame me that I have never, ever felt before. And when we were there and started moving around, I never felt fear. I never had anxiety. I had never been at such peace and calm. You can tell that the Spirit of God is in that place.
Yes.
In spite of all the other things that we hear about Israel.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It was absolutely the most peaceful and inspiring experience I have ever had.
And you know, it's amazing how God can navigate you through a place. There was certainly some unrest going on in Israel at that time. We never saw it. We were never part of it. It's like God directed and ordered our steps.
Yes.
He took the whole team on this journey without ever having a hiccup. Never was in danger. Never. Mm-hmm. So all those things that people hear about, you know, are you really going? Do you know what's happening over there and all of that stuff? I'm telling you, when the door is open and when the Lord is directing your steps, no weapon formed against you will prosper. And God hid us. It was like we was hidden. He kept us. And we saw everything we wanted to see. And we'll talk about that, I'm sure, later. But yeah, just know that when you have a sure word from the Lord, you know, don't hesitate to go. You know, do what he tells you to do and all will be well with you.
I just want to say, too, that we didn't just go. We fasted and prayed prior to meeting at the airport.
Right.
So there was some work up front too. We had specific days when we were all praying together. We were all fasting together. Mm-hmm. And we had a whole list of things that we were asking God to cover us for. The weather, our health, the travel, the airlines, everything. Peace over Israel. We were praying for all of that a month before we actually left. And I think all of that came to life. God answered our prayers. He answered our prayers.
We prayed for the transportation. We prayed for the tour guide, you know, the person that was going to take us around. I mean, we left nothing unturned. We pray for our own help, you know. We pray for everything that we needed, we would have on this trip. Yeah, Miss Cora, tell your story. What you was believing God for.
Pardon me?
I said, tell us about what you were believing God for.
Oh, I believe in God for everything that a person does, right, wrong, or indifferent. God still knows that you were going to do that. God still knows what your reaction was going to be when he did what he did. So you didn't do that or you could do that. So my thing is, if you don't ask God about it, then you're walking with no faith. I have faith in everything I do because I say, if he wants me to do it, he'll let me do it. If he doesn't want me to do it, I won't do it. And this is a weird scenario, but sometimes I'll ask somebody to go get me a sandwich from McDonald's or something. And they'll say, oh, I don't have time. I say, well, God didn't want me to have that sandwich. But that's how I feel about everything. Whatever it is, if he wants me to do it, if he wants us to do it, if he wants us to say it, if he wants us to be there, then that's how it's going to be. If you're there and it's not where you want to be, he has you there for a reason. You just have to pay attention and listen, and he'll tell you what that reason is. So I have my faith and my belief that all things that I do are guided by him.
And he will make a way. Because Miss Cora and one other person on our trip, they were using the mopeds or to get around. God made a way.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Provided transportation for them, the scooters for them to visit all the sites. They had no issues visiting any of the sites.
Absolutely. Yep.
So I guess keep me going. So day one, you get off the airport, you get off the plane out of the airport, you step into Tel Aviv, and you feel that peace that's almost like an answer to your prayers from a month before. You've been doing this prep work, and it's like, what are your next steps from there?
Well, the first place we visited was the Caesarea National Park, and that was right off, you know, we got off the plane, we did a little bit of touring the first day. And I think that was a nice introduction, because it wasn't overwhelming. It wasn't too much information. It was by the water, and anything by the water is more relaxing. And you know, you have that time to just chill out. Because normally, when you're getting off a plane, you don't want to. You just want to go chill out. I didn't have that sense. I wanted to be there. I wanted to absorb it. I wanted to see all that I could see. And then there was a moment when all of us were standing on the shore, and it was just peaceful and quiet, and everybody, you could tell, were just in the moment and enjoying the moment. And that it was 12 of us, and there was peace among each and every one of us. You could just see it and you could just feel it.
Yeah, I remember the blue water. It was like the Mediterranean Sea was so pretty. It was like this trickle. What's that word I'm looking for? Tranquil, like a turquoise blue. And it had stones in it. The pebbles were like gemstones. And some of us, and I was one of them trying to do that as well, we kind of played in the water and picked up the pebbles. And you could see the blues and the gray and the browns and the different hues. It was really nice. I actually brought some back with me. They're real pretty. So just to say that our beaches don't have all the gems in it like that, but over there, it is a lot of pebbles in the water. Yeah, yeah. Some really pretty things, including seashells.
The water was so serene. It was like you're just standing there in the breeze of his breath. You could just feel the calmness. You could just feel, I'm here with you, and I'm going to guide you through this trip. So you'll know where I began and the things I need you to do. The water was just so calm, so calming. You just felt like I could just lay here and listen to him. Listening to the waves is like listening to him.
Yes.
And it was beautiful, just beautiful. Yeah.
What comes to mind is Psalms 23. You know, when you think about the waters, and he leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. That's what comes to mind, because mind you, now this is day one, and we have been traveling like a long time.
It took us 11 hours to get there.
Yes, mm-hmm. 11 hours. Yes. And it was a whole nother day when we got there.
Because yes. you guys jumped ahead in time.
We left here on the first and arrived there on the second in the afternoon.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. And so he restored us when we saw that water, and we were just feeling refreshed.
Yeah.
Not even tired, just refreshed.
Right. Yes.
I like how you
and
guys.
And then when we got to Mount Carmel. I can still feel that. That was amazing because it was another group from America there. They it was a church from Roanoke, Virginia, and they were there, and their pastor was there, and he was actually teaching. Mm-hmm. And we just joined up and we all became one. And we were, and it's just being on top of that mountain and looking out.
Yes. Yes.
So beautiful. And
you
can
just feel it.
Yes. They had one flower. They had flowers everywhere, all colors. But there was one in the shape of a cross, you all. A cross, purple and white. Do you remember the name? I don't,
but I have pictures.
We got
pictures. I have pictures.
Yes. Oh, oh. And the view. Did you see Mount Hermon? Is that the mountain we saw? It was hidden in the clouds. It was like a silhouette between the clouds. And ooh, but you really had
to focus. I have pictures of Mount Hermon too.
Awesome. I like what you all are describing because it's like I've been studying Genesis 1. Trying to understand the story using this podcast called Bema and the how would you say the narrator or the host and co-host of it, they're essentially going through a study of the Torah or the first few books of the Bible to explain the story from both a Jewish perspective and a Greek perspective, and not to say if you're Greek or a Westerner you don't need to become more Eastern like people that the Bible was written for, but one of the things that he highlights in the creation story is that it's not meant to be a science book, like how many days was the earth created in, but it's actually, it's a call to how God feels about his creation and that it's good, it's good, it's good. And despite, like you described, what's going on in the world, what we see in the news and all these different things is that in spite all of those things is still good. And it's
good.
Refreshing to hear that in preparation to go into the trip, you guys took the time to fast. And I did that, I think, 2 or 3 weeks ago. And that process of like, okay, this isn't just about not eating food from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m.
Right.
Or if I do eat, I didn't fail. Like, I'm not a failure. Like, all of life isn't over. It's like, it's still good. And being able to embrace that and then be in that environment where it's like, oh, okay, like, this is where Jesus walked. This is where like the presence of God is felt despite wars, famine, hunger, abuse, whatever the thing may be. It's like you've got to focus on the good and that is not something static, but constantly evolving and dynamic. It's always like it hasn't stopped being good since light started and the plants grew and that it's like they mutate, they do this, they evolve, they do that, but they continue on.
Wow.
Yeah. Yes. All of that.
Yes.
All
absolutely.
And some more.
Yeah.
But yes.
Like you were talking about the mountain. What's the significance of the first mountain that you guys mentioned?
Oh, Mount Carmel is where Jesus preached from.
Elijah.
Elijah. Sorry.
The prophet Elijah.
Prophet Elijah.
Yeah. Where he rained down fire. That's when him and the false gods or the false prophets came against him and that's what that pastor was teaching, reading about. He was telling them about Elijah having the standoff. It was his God against the other God. And so we know Elijah won, right? Because his God came down and swallowed up all the water and started a fire, which is our God. And the other people was just like, and even Elijah was teasing them, like, where's your God before all that happened? Where's your God?
Yeah.
Well, they were cutting themselves and doing all these things, rituals. But when the God of Elijah showed up in power and fire and just consumed up the trench that they had built, and the water was running through that. And so, yeah, that's in Kings, second or first, maybe both. But yeah, that's God showing himself above all the other gods. So that was Mount Carmel.
Gotcha. Miss Cora, did you want to add something to that?
No.
Gotcha.
I was thinking about the beatitude. That's what had crossed my mind, but I couldn't remember where it was.
I think it's like Vicky, Matthew.
I'll have to tell us that.
Maybe Matthew 5 and 6, somewhere in there. But one of the things that you pointed out, it's that for some reason I've seen that story come up surprisingly through social media, and seen it come from different avenues, where it's that I guess that goes to inform you, like, the things you follow you back, and it kind of plays to that. So it's like, if you want more positive things, you can like more positive things, and if it's getting like too one way, you can skew it another way. But one of the things that's highlighted about that is you see the big battle and like God shows up in this mighty way, but then the next scene, it's like Elijah's fleeing for his life, and he's got this like the queen's after him, and she's getting ready to cut his head off. And he's I don't know. It's like this miracle just happened, but now it's like life's kind of set in. Like, what am I going to do? Like, how am I going to get through this night? And then that God shows up in that quiet, still voice. And it's that God isn't just one thing. He shows up in many ways. And whenever we get a chance to meet him, it's amazing to see, because it's like sometimes as humans, it seems that we're either conditioned to believe one thing. And once we understand one thing, it's like, that's all that there is. And then we forget that, like, the only limit on God is that he doesn't have limits. So that's why he works with humans, in order to be let me partner with you guys and have you help me do my work. Otherwise, it's like, I can do everything by myself, but like, what good would that do me?
Amen.
Amen.
Right. Amen.
Amen.
So then from Mount Carmel, where do you go next? And I think one thing you mentioned, Miss Vicky, was that you have a preacher with you, or you have someone teaching along the trip as you guys go?
We had our tour guide, and he was very, very knowledgeable. And he explained everything that happened on each site that we went to. Right. He's from there. He's born there. He knows it all. In fact, I think he was from Nazareth. Was he from Nazareth?
Yes, he was. He was a Christian also.
Was from. And he was a Christian. He was a Messianic Jewish man. And so, yeah.
Okay. And we called him Sam.
Sam.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I'm going to read all the places that we went.
Okay.
So, Caesarea National Park, Mount Carmel National Park, the Galilee Boat Center, where we went on the Sea of Galilee, and we went to the museum, the Mountain of Beatitudes. We went to the Church of Multitude. We went to Capernaum National Park, where we saw St. Peter's house. We saw the synagogue, and we saw the lake. We were at Yardanet Jordan River baptism site, where we all were baptized in Jordan River. We went to Tel Pazor National Park. We went to the National Preserves. We went to the Druid Village and Market up in the mountains, where we got a clear view of Mount Hermon.
Yes.
We went to Tet Hazora National Park. We were on the Dead Sea. We went to the baptismal site in Kaser al-Yahud. We were at En Gedi National Reserve. We went to Masada. We went to Qumran. We went to En Gedi, the Valley of the Shadow of Death. We went to Old City, Jerusalem, where we saw the Temple Mount, the Via Dolorosa, the Mount of Olives, the Western Wall, the Western Wall Tunnels. We went to the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. We went to the Pools of Bethesda. We went to Gethsemane. So we experienced a lot. And that's not everything. That's just what I could just write down real quickly.
Wow. And this was a 2-week trip, 1-week trip?
2 week.
11 days.
Yeah, it's just crammed it in there. It's like boom, 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 boom.
Started on day one and just kept going.
Wow.
And as we were driving, our driver, Sam, no matter where we were headed, he would tell us about all the places we were passing while we were on the bus, and tell us what happened in all the locations. He was just the absolute greatest tour guide because he knew it all. It's like he'd been doing this his whole life. And so he knew every corner of Israel. He was just so well versed in it and would tell us about any and everything, who should be staying on one side of the tracks and who should be staying on the other side, more or less. But he was really good at telling us everywhere we were going. And on our way there, what we were seeing.
One of my favorite stops was the Sea of Galilee. Oh, my. So we get to go out on the Sea of Galilee by way of a boat. And I'm telling you, it was awesome.
Praises went up. Blessings came down.
I know you can just close your eyes and just feel the boat. Just move and just imagining Jesus being on the boat with you.
Right.
That was just truly an amazing experience.
What did it look like?
It was like you were out to sea that nobody else could see.
Okay.
Because you could only see it. You were out to sea, S-E-A, that nobody else could S-E-E. Because you were seeing it through you, what God has for you. And you could feel through what he was telling you while you were there.
Right.
It was a comforting ride. It was a ride. It was, go ahead, Marilyn.
No, I don't want to cut you off, but I just want just to know that Jesus did most of his work around the Sea of Galilee, which is actually a lake, but
actually
it's just to know that and to know that he was there and to know that we could literally walk in his footsteps and being on that boat and just imagining all the biblical stories that you've heard about the Sea of Galilee and what happened, and just to be able to feel the waves and understand what they were going through and understand what they went through and how they survived. You know, I can't imagine being on the Sea of Galilee in a storm, but you know, we have the sense of being on it when it's calm and when it and the waves are just rocking you and you can just feel the peace. And at one point, I think everyone on the ship, even the operators, were just quiet and you can just hear the waves flash and just feel the motion. And it was absolutely amazing. I have a video and I'll send it to you, Asher. And it's just the front of the boat. And you can just see the waves just move. And every time I watch that, there's a peace that comes over me because I know what that feeling is like. I know what that feels like.
Yeah. Man,
I love how you described that. And I really like what you said, Ms. Cora, about you're out to sea, but what you see is only for you. So even though your three of you were there, you had different experiences, but you, it still kind of fits within where one person said, you're like, yeah, I got that sense too.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, we didn't want that one to end.
We did.
It was so amazing. I mean, because everything that you learned about Jesus and all the miracles that happened at that particular sea, it's like the miracle of the fish, right? You know, when he tells John and Peter and they were out fishing and they didn't catch anything and they were there all night. And then Jesus enters the scene and he says, throw your nets back out, you know? And that was so powerful to know this is the sea that you're standing on. This is where that miracle took place. It's mind blowing. I'm telling you, when I say scriptures come alive, they came to life. And the Holy Spirit just brings it all back to your memory. And you're like, wow. This happened here. I'm actually here.
Right.
I'm here.
Yeah.
Right here. I was like, God, it's amazing. Wow. It just makes the Bible makes become rhema or becomes living word, right? It becomes a living word.
Yes.
Because you can read about a place and we know it by faith, but when you go and can it's tangible, you can now touch the water, see the water, look out upon Israel. You're gazing from the left to the right. Oh, my. The mountains are in the scene. The Jordan River is connecting to this scene. I mean, I have no words.
It's that's what I tell people all the time. People are like, what is it like? I said, the Bible comes to life.
Right.
Yes. It's like you grow up in a church and you read it and it almost becomes sort of mundane. But when you're there and you actually get to experience these places that you have read about in the Bible, it brings a new life, a new joy. Now when I read, it's different. It hits different. It hits different.
And one thing,
you know, that saying that they say, you had to be there. Absolutely. I can explain. Amen. I can explain how I felt, but you had to be there to feel what you felt. Yeah.
And you know, that's a difficult question for me. People are like, well, how was it? And I'm like, I can't speak.
Can't put it in words.
I can't. And so people think, oh, she's just trying. She just doesn't want to talk. She doesn't want to share. That's not it. It is so amazing.
I can't just put it
in a 1 minute.
Right.
It's synopsis. Remember,
I
think I
told
you
guys. There's no brief synopsis for that.
I think I told you all about one of my coworkers who used to travel to Israel all the time, at least once a year. And one day he said to me, he says, hey, Vicky, I'm not all into the God thing or the church and all of that. He said, but I'm telling you, when I went to Israel, oh, it's something over there. There's a presence over there in that land.
He said,
I don't know all what's going on, but he said, it's something I can't, you know, explain it. I just know there's a presence of God over there in that holy land. And I thought, what a witness to God.
Absolutely.
What a witness.
It's awesome. I guess actions speak louder than words.
Yes.
It does.
One of the things that you mentioned was they call it maybe like a lullaby effect when you get into the habit or religion, I guess, as everyone identifies it now, where it's you do the same thing repeat over and over, but when you're not allowed to question things or actually experience a thing, it's almost like it becomes routine where it's you just do this, like we wash our face, we get up, we go, but it's not until maybe you forget to wash your face a few days and like you build up like a mask on your face or like you start to smell yourself and you're like, something's not right. And it's like, let me switch up. And it's like, oh, wow, this soap smells like heavenly. It's like, oh, like, wow. Like I had some popcorn yesterday and it's like, I closed my eyes and I was feeling the kernels and I was like, oh, wow, it's cheese and caramel on it or caramel. Ooh. And it's like, okay. And I'm taking my time with it. I'm saying like one piece of popcorn and I'm like, ooh, that's good. So like somebody put their foot in this, somebody did something right. But you guys are describing this from like the living word. And it's like, we read it. We went to Sunday school. We did church for however many years. And it's like, I don't know. Like there's a reason this thing's been around for more than 2,000 years. And it's like, they're not just like crazy people. Or they're not just like to think that for me, I've been thinking this recently, having studying engineering now and trying to understand, like, on a basic level, how do you build something? You got to know what's going on in the ground. And it's that I've got to feel the dirt with my hands physically to say, okay, this is sand, this is clay, but then there's different types of clays, there's different types of sand. And I could think that, oh, this is so simple. But if I don't pay attention for a minute, I could be 1,000 feet in the wrong direction, just like, well, I thought it was this. And then based on that classification, I would be giving like a different diagnosis to say, okay, if you're going to build here, you need this kind of drainage, or you've got to worry about like the foundation may not be as stable, but it's like that, taking that minute to focus and being like, okay, this is what I'm doing. Maybe I don't know how to do it, but I'm in the process of learning. And then like having that curiosity or that desire to like get to know a thing, it's like, oh, okay, like I thought I was going to become an adult and then I could script out my life on an Excel sheet. If my brain got wiped out for some reason, stay with me, I would just go back to the Excel sheet, just be like, oh, this is what I need to do day one, day two, day three, day four, day five. And then it's like that might not work out, or that's not really much of a life. Like you can't just script things out to be perfectly fit and you just go do that. Otherwise it's like, what would be the point of you being there as a person? It's that some things are going to be great, some things are not going to be so great, and then like all of it is still good. And it's not just like, well, when I'm smiling it's good, or when I'm happy today because of like ice cream I had or like a sight I got to see. It's like, no, it's all good. Like when you're bawling your eyes out crying, it's like, it's good. But like hearing you three describe this experience, it's like, wow, like there's always something, and it's not it doesn't always occur in the moments you think you need it, but when you get it, it's like, oh, okay, maybe I had to wait for this in order to appreciate it now, because then it's that I'm not as bitter, I'm not as angry, or the thing that I thought I needed to have there and then, it's like, I can actually deal with this now because I've learned to appreciate something. And yes, if I would have got it when I was entitled or I felt I deserved a thing, then I would have thought, oh, I can do this all day, every day. Like, if I want this, I just go and get it. If I want that, I just go and get it. I don't have to like pray. I don't have to seek. I don't have to like get up and go all the way to Israel to make a thing. I could just be like, oh, let me just go to the beach over here and like kick my feet in the water and be like, oh yeah, like water's clean, the sand is this, is that. It's like, it's a little different. Like your friend said, I may not be into the God thing, but it's like, that might be God. Like, maybe I don't want to say it out of my mouth, but it's like, that's not this. Like, it's different.
And each time you go, it's a different experience. When we go back again, with you coordinating things, I believe
it will be a
different experience, and it'll be, oh, I remember that, but this feels
different.
Hey, I missed something when I was here before. So yes, I can't wait.
I agree with you, because our mind was processing so much so fast, we couldn't get it all.
Right.
We couldn't take it all in. It was just so much. So yeah, I'm looking forward to the trip going again. 2025.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it as well. And it'll be documented.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
This is practice.
Yes. Awesome. Yes. Yes. Yes.
So of what you got to experience on the trip, what's one thing that stood out for you coming back? Like, did you have any like detachment issues to be like, dang, we got to go home? Or were you looking forward to coming home?
Definitely had detachment issues. I wish I was still there now.
Yes.
We had so many wonderful experiences. I mean, literally walking into the Dead Sea and just laying out and floating. Oh my God. It just blew my mind. So, you know, it's just so much. I mean, getting baptized in the River Jordan.
Ooh, yes.
I went under, something happened. I felt it. And when I came up, I just started praising the Lord. I couldn't help but praise the Lord. It was like something just washed away. I mean, it was so renewing. And it literally felt like I was taking my first breath. Wow. That's what it felt like coming up out of that. It felt like I was taking my first breath. And it was just so many experiences at the Western Wall. The presence of God is truly, truly there. It is there. You can feel the Spirit of God there. And thank God that we as Christians can go there and have experience.
Yes.
We were on the Temple Mount and we could see the Dome of the Rock, but we couldn't go into the building because we were not Muslim. So that, to me, brought home the story between Hagar and Sarah.
Yes.
Their two sons and the different directions that God allowed their lives to move into. And one, the leader of the Islamic group, and the other, the leader of the Jewish and the Christians.
Yes.
I felt that in my spirit. I felt that all that history.
Wow.
I felt it. So there were so many times, and Vicky and I talked about this. There were so many times where I would be in a place and my knees would buckle.
Yes.
Wow.
It was just, and when that was one time, and when we saw the Wailing Wall, we were walking and my knees literally buckled at the sight of it. We were like still 100 yards away. I know, it's just so many, there were so many experiences that, you know, we were able to bring back with us.
Yes.
And thank God we have each other, because we've shared those. We've been
right. Yes.
Meeting periodically, sharing these thoughts and these feelings with each other. because if you don't have someone in your life who's experienced this, it's hard. It's hard. You know, I this was a decade ago or more. I actually hiked the Grand Canyon like rim to rim.
Came home.
I was all excited. And I literally just sat in my living room. It's like, I have nobody I can share this with because nobody understands
what it's very true. Do. Yes.
But with this, I mean, we still have the group, the KTT group and our, and you know, the three of us, we have people that have experienced this, who know it and can feel it. And, you know, you can share it with. So that makes a tremendous difference coming back. But I still wish I was there.
Yes, me too.
The food, and I think,
I'm sorry. Okay. The food, the calmness, the serenity, all those things that just made you feel like, what am I? I don't have a job. Why am I going back home? You know, that's just me, sorry. It's just, it was just beautiful. It really was just beautiful. You had to be there.
Yeah.
You had to be there. Exactly.
That's the title. That's the title of the episode. You had to be there. Man. So I guess, how long has it been since you all have been home from the trip?
March the 11th. We left on March, what, 1st? The 1st? Through the 11th. So. Wow.
And what do you think will stay with you a year from March?
Everything.
Yeah, everything. I think everything. All the feelings. Yes.
Everything. And
we have pictures. We have videos. We have the feelings, the emotions. Just seeing the Bible come to life, that will never leave me. That will never leave.
Yes. Wow. So many things you wanted explained, but we had to move on to the next. Mm-hmm. So next time, we're going to catch it all.
Yeah.
We'll find a way to catch it all. Mm-hmm. If we have to be.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. That's Asher's job. Okay.
The thing I like about that is like this, this maybe third perspective on how they say truth is viewed from east to west, where they say truth is something that's unraveling or unveiling, where it's like, just because something you understand today may be different tomorrow, it doesn't mean that you need to abandon yesterday in order to go start a new thing.
Amen.
So I like when you said that, it's like you're able to capture a small thing, and then the next time you get like another slice, or you get like another scene and another scene and another scene. And then like, as you look over it, you're like, oh, like there's room for these different things in here, which before I would have thought limited mind frame, like this has to be it. Nothing else other than this. And like is there an identity crisis between the three groups, having like the Muslim and the Jew and then the Christian, which are kind of like their own thing? Like, did you feel that identity crisis even with Sam, your tour guide, or like were the people just, we keep to ourselves, we respect our boundaries, and we don't clash where we don't need to clash?
We didn't have to necessarily keep to ourselves. Everybody appreciated everybody at all times.
And we went to the Jewish quarter. We were all over, and we did not have any issues or, you know, anyone mistreating us. Everyone, you know, treated us with kindness. We didn't have any issues with any groups that, you know, we were around.
Yeah, because we actually went to a local farmers market, which was awesome. Oh, my God. And of course, that was with the natives, right? And so they just received us and explained everything that we saw. Oh, the dates were in.
Yes.
Right.
Fresh dates, you guys. They had dates everywhere, and they are so, so rich and sweet. Okay, so for me, one of the highlights that I won't forget is the food. Oh, it's so good.
Yeah.
So naturally organic. Right.
I was looking for Ziplocs to bring some home.
If we could have the falafel.
Right. Oh. We couldn't.
The food. Yes. Everything was delicious. Everything
was fresh.
Yeah.
Fresh and delicious.
Did it have
healthy, so many choices.
It was healthy.
Did it have you questioning some of the things we eat?
Yes.
Big question marks. like when someone says they're having, let's say, cream cheese. Okay, what did you add to it? It doesn't taste like the other one.
Hummus. Oh, yes. Hummus.
I know. Some of the like best hummus ever.
Oh, best hummus ever.
Man. We weren't teaspoon. We were tablespooning everything.
multiple tablespoons at
yes,
that. Multiple.
Yes.
Hey, but in that case, it's good because it's like you're constantly on the move. So you got to have a little bit here and a little bit there to keep your energy up.
Absolutely.
And it makes sense to me when Christ says, I am the bread of life. Because that bread was life.
It was nice. Absolutely. Yes.
Tender.
Fresh every morning.
Fresh every day. Every morning. Yes.
Every meal, actually.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Delicious.
And such a variety of fresh fruits, fresh vegetables, fresh cheeses, fresh olives. I didn't know they had that many olives, but then again, you know, I live in Philly. Who knows?
Yeah.
it was so good when I came back to the U.S. and the first thing I tried to eat, it tasted, I hate to say it, disgusting.
I thought,
what is in these french fries? All this grease.
Right. Who did everything. That?
Did you all have that same experience?
Yes.
I went looking for Jewish restaurants. I wanted to taste that. And I found two, but it still was not, it was just not the same.
No, they're Americanized.
It took a while. It took a while to adjust. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It felt like somebody did something to your food. It's like,
absolutely. You could tell all that in our food. Yeah. It's like, how do we eat this? You know?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you know what? We didn't talk about our camel rides.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
You got to say something about that.
What was that like?
It was amazing. It was initially a scary thing. Because it was, so we were on the Mount of Olives, and it was a wall, and so you had to stand on the wall to get onto the camel, and that was fine. But when the camel stood up, I was like, whoa. And Vicky had gone before me. So when the camel stood up, I literally yelled, whoa. Vicky was like, yeah, that feeling.
Yeah. Like, uh-oh, I think that's the biggest animal I've ever been on. I'm telling you.
Yes. But, you know, it was a ride. It really was.
It's a ride. It's a once in a lifetime for me. Okay, maybe when we go again, I'll probably.
You got to document it. You got to document it. If it wasn't documented, it didn't happen.
I'll do it again.
Well, I wasn't getting on. And they decided the camel should give me a kiss.
Yes.
So and I have pictures.
Aston, don't worry about it.
Like, no incriminating photos.
Yes. I said, who does that?
Aston, I'm going to share some of our pictures with you.
Okay. I'll see. No promises, but I'll see how I can work them in.
Yeah, the camel ride sealed everything, didn't it? That was towards the end. That may have been one of the last things we did.
Was the camel ride like, do the camels walk the whole time or do they run? Like,
no running.
No running.
Run?
No. He took us around the block.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Yeah. That was
enough.
I was just asking out of curiosity because it's like animals and like different things in nature just do things. Sometimes it's like, I don't realize until you Google something or you see something in video and it's like, I didn't know they could do that. And like, you look at a moose and it's like the size of a house, or you look at something else. It's like, oh, okay. Like we're outside of the food chain for a reason. Like they're over there doing what they do. And like, we're like, no. Like we're staying over here on this side.
Mm-hmm.
Man, that's awesome.
Yeah, maybe we'll do a camel race at some point.
Look at Miss Cora. She's like, she will watch us go.
Not today, and tomorrow's not looking good either.
Oh, Lordy.
So since you all have been back, what is it? Who have you told about your experience?
My husband, my son, my girlfriend, my church family, people in the street. I met a couple in the mall. Well, I met a couple in the mall and they said, It was a grandmother and her granddaughter. They were going to Greece. So I said, that's great. I haven't been. However, let me tell you about my experience in March to Israel. And so I was able to share it on the spot. And so that gave them more motivation to go to Greece as well. So, yeah. So I told the granddaughter, she's blessed to be going this young in her life. She may have been 18, if that. And to get that experience, you know, where Paul went, the biblical perspective of it, and just ancient Greek history. And so she got really excited. She's like, yes, I'm so excited. But yeah, it's a lifetime experience. You'll never forget it.
Yeah. Right.
And it was her first trip. Mm-hmm. It's going to be, well, I think they left in April. It's her first trip leaving the nation of U.S.
I know. I've talked to anybody about it. And actually talking to people, I found out about other trips to Israel.
Yes.
I know. I almost went in June, but I didn't. And even today, I visited my cousin's church today and saw an advertisement. They're going to Israel October 7th through the 17th. And my first instinct was, okay, who do I pay? I'm like, who do I talk to? But then it's like, no, I need to be still, because, you know, a few minutes before that, I was like, Lord, I'll do what you want me to do. I'll go where you want me to go. But here I am making up my mind. So I was like, I need to pray over it and let God lead me. But my birthday is in October, and that trip during that duration, I don't get to spend my birthday in Israel. So I'm like, Lord God, please tell me yes.
Yes. Well, we stand in agreement with you on that prayer.
We stand in agreement.
Thank you. Thank you.
If he says so, let's go.
You go.
Yeah.
So I like what Ms. Carr said. As long as you have the money, that's the yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. He provides.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah.
And let me say this too. I was able to I put together a poster board, a trifold poster board, where I went to CVS and connected my phone and printed out a story to tell about my journey. And I was able to share that with the children's church, the little kids, because I felt like we got the Bible stories in Sunday school, but I wanted to let them know, you can touch me, feel me, because I went and help try to bring Jesus alive for them and let them know Jesus was a little boy, and he played in this mountain, and he swam in this river, and he fished in this sea. You know, I wanted them to bring, we have been teaching them about the story of David, and we went and we saw the storm, David, you know, we saw the tomb of Christ. We went in that. And so I just wanted to make it more tangible for them as much as possible. Right. And the other place I minister at, one of the shelters here for homeless women. And I took that same poster board and presented it to them so that they, so the Bible could come alive for them as well. And let them know that even if they desire to go, they can't look at the state that they're currently in. Know that this is just a temporary situation that they're finding themselves in. But God is a big God. He's the great I am. And he can let them go if they have a desire. And some of them had a desire. And they were so excited about the testimony that I was able to tell them. And even the little kids, their eyes got huge. And it was like, Miss Vicky, did you ride that camel? Because I did put that picture there. And did Jesus walk? Is that where he told who to get out of the boat? Peter to walk on the water? Yes. And that's where King David lived as well. Yes. And King Saul and all the Bible stories. And so I thank God for giving me those two open doors to share that story of Israel, to share his story. Because that's what it is. It's the story of Christ.
It's his story. Really. Absolutely. Right. Yes.
It's his story. Now we just get to try to tell some of it from our little small mind and, you know, little glimpses, right? So I pray that those stories stick with the babies, you know. They were between age 5 and 12. Oh, yeah.
Nice.
So that was good.
Feels like yesterday.
It does. Feels just like that.
Miss Cora, are we doing something this month?
Yes.
Yes, we are. I said, okay, yes. On the 23rd, is Esther coming? I think he should come and
yes,
do something
he's coming.
There.
Okay.
Is he coming?
I guess I just got the invite.
We're having our Holy Land presentation at my church. Oh, at the church I attend. I own nothing.
Okay.
So the church I attend, we're having a presentation of our trip to the Holy Land. And the speakers are on your left or your right, the other side. But it's going to be awesome. I've invited quite a few other churches to come and see. So maybe they will initiate some trips for their parishioners to go and see. And maybe that'll bring more into the fold, you know, because people say, well, you talk about, well, what do you really know? Mm-hmm. I know, I don't know everything, but I know a few things that would help you to get to him. Mm-hmm. And if you don't believe me, this is where you can go so you can find out what I really know and what you should know so you can bring some more of your family into.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But yes, we're having an awesome, awesome September 23rd.
Mm. I think my calendar. Address? Yes, send me the address and the time.
Wow. Absolutely.
How far are you from Philly?
I'm in South Georgia, so I'll see what.
About 10 hours.
I'll probably be flying, just to be honest. Once I'm over 5 hours, I'm like, I'm tapping out. Yeah. Unless I get a friend to go and it's like, okay, we road trip, we'll swap out, maybe do some sightseeing. But it's funny because I was thinking there's. Of some friends are doing a conference in Atlanta. And I was like, yeah, I want to go support and I'd like to be there for that. But then I just kept thinking about it. I was like, there's this friend doing this weekend. And then there's a friend doing something the last weekend. And I was like, something doesn't seem right. It's like, it would be good to do a boot camp, go there for 3 days. But it's like, I don't really need to do this, but I need to be somewhere. I can't put my finger on it. I don't know what it is, but like.
Shall I raise my hand?
Right. But little did I know, there was already plans in place.
Absolutely. Yes. We have a plan for you.
Awesome. Is there anything you would like to, because you mentioned it, is there anything you would like to leave the people with, or what are you looking forward to as you kind of wrap up this year? Because it seems like we're on the back half of 2023.
I like to say that if you don't know, you need to know. And the only way you'll know is if you go. Anybody can tell you anything, but it's their version of it. You could use their version for some things, but not for all things. You have to be there. You have to have been there. You have to get your own talk with him in order to know what he wants you to do and what he wants you to say and where he wants you to go. My thoughts.
My thoughts are there are people who make this trip every year. We need to start being in that group because we saw a lot this time, but there's still a lot that we have not seen. And it's so much more to experience.
Right. Yeah.
So I would encourage families to start doing this, even when their kids are young, so that they can see the Bible come to life. They can see that it's not just words on a page. That this is truly a place where our Christian history lies and where God has covered this land. Mm-hmm. It's not just fairy tales in a book. This is real. This is real.
Yes.
I would add to that. I agree with both of those ladies. I would add that if you are a Christian or not, but if you are a Christian and you think you know who Jesus is, and you think that you have experienced and had some encounters with him, you have not seen anything yet. Until you go to the Holy Land, your experiences are small. The Holy
preach,
Land
minister,
magnifies.
Preach.
The Holy Land magnifies everything, okay. Like times over times, like double time, triple time. It's going to grow. I'm not going to preach, but I'm telling you, this is just being real. I'm being real. If you have not been to the Holy Land as a born again believer, you are missing out. You're just missing out. God wants to touch you in different ways. He wants to open himself up to you so that you can see that he's a big God. He is the God of all creation. We didn't talk about the mustard seed, but when you go there, mustard seed plants grow all along the mountain. They grow everywhere. So when you read about in the Bible about having mustard seed faith the size of a mustard seed, oh, that becomes very revelatory to you. You now can say, wow, God, I know what you mean. That text just got bigger for you. You got more understanding about why he even chose to talk about that. It was something that they saw everywhere and every day. So Christ loved to give us parables, and they were relevant for that day. They were relevant because everybody knew what he meant. They passed it. They passed the mustard seed fields. They grew. Did y'all? They were just beautiful. They had yellow flowers. I mean, oh, I'm going to stop. But yes, you've got to come. You guys have got to go. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I'm done. Amen.
You got to be there.
Yeah.
Got to be there.
Very well said. This was a pleasure being able to capture this and make plans for the future, even for what's to come next this month and next year and the year after that.
Amen.
And from the first question I asked you, I'll ask it again in a different way. Are you still who you said you were? Either at the start of the interview or at the start of your trip to Israel?
Am I still who I was prior to Israel? No. Am I still who I was prior to this interview? Sort of. I'm bringing back, the ladies have brought back things that I had forgot. And I'm like, oh, yeah. So I'm excited again. But in me is still all the things that I brought back with me in memory. And they just have been highlighted by this interview. Yes. And so I'm ready to, I don't have enough money yet, but I'm ready to go. Yes.
Am I different than before I went to Israel? Yes, definitely. And different in that I feel the word now. When I read, it's not just, you know, letters on a piece of paper. I understand. And I can look at pictures and I can remember that I was in that space, right? That in itself just renews my faith. It just renews my strength in the Lord. And I'm so thankful for that. I'm so thankful for that. I'm still the same person that I am when we started this call. Yes, that remains. But I am, after the Israel trip, I told you, the word just hits differently. And we have responsibilities. You know, we are committed to God. We have accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior. We can't take that lightly. We cannot take that lightly.
There's a song that says, I know I've been changed. Okay. I know I've been changed since my Israel trip. I know I am not the same. I mean, the word of God changed me. The word of God changed me because I was able to, I don't want to sound like Doubting Thomas, but I got to touch, right? I had to touch Israel. I had to put my feet on the Holy Land. I had to go where he went. And I'm telling you, that made me, my faith increase. Right. My faith increased. I came back ready to evangelize. I was ready to save the whole world all over again because God is real. And we know that. But going to Israel, God is real. God is real. We may not get all the interpretations of the Bible correct. We may not all agree. But one thing I tell people, you did not create yourself. You came Amen. From something you may not, cannot explain it, but I'm telling you, there is a God. There is a God. If you don't believe, if we cannot agree, you know, where we came from or how, just know that there is something bigger than you. And I believe it is God. It is God of Israel. It is the God who created you, who made you. And you cannot explain that. You can deny a lot of things, Maybe our doctrines don't agree, our theology don't agree, but you can believe that there is a God. And so you have hope. All is not lost. So I was able to evangelize. I was like, let me preach this gospel with fire. Let me tell somebody that, okay, you may not believe what I believe, the way I believe it, but let me ask you a few questions. You know, let me explain these scriptures to you now so that you may be saved. I want to draw that soul to Christ because I know that one day you're going to have to answer to a holy God. You're going to have to stand before that cross and you got to make a decision either while you here or after you die. You better choose today who you're going to believe.
Amen. Asher, I would like to add that you can find Minister Vicki Robertson on Facebook.
All right.
Yes, under my name.
Okay. Especially on Tuesdays.
Every Tuesday at 9 o'clock Central Time.
You present at 9 o'clock?
Yes, I do a devotional, 15 minutes most times.
Gotcha. I like it. And are you all also on Facebook if people want to reach out and get a trip going?
Yes. We should start a Facebook group for Israel for the time that Asher is going to document the trip for us.
Amen. Yes,
absolutely.
Yeah. And I guess to kind of tie it all in, the reason I say it, it almost sounds like a dream come true. I had a conversation with my oldest brother and he'd asked me, it's like, hey, what did you want to be when you grew up, like when you were young? And for some reason, there's this scene where, you know, when they do National Geographic or they have like a paleontologist going and they're like dusting off dinosaur bones or different things like that. And there's always someone, he's like describing something to the camera. And for some reason, I was like, something shows me in that scene. So I could be the cameraman and just be sitting back and being like, oh, as they're expressing their story, I'm sitting back, capturing it and getting ready to retell it to the world and say, hey, like even you can do this as an everyday person or as a person that's like, oh, like, well, some people would say whoever the we, like collectively is, oh, we don't do that. Like, oh no, it's like, no, here's an 18-year-old that's going international for the first time, or here's a different opportunity. It's that if you allow yourself to take the limit off your mind as to no one showed me this growing up, no one told me about this, it's like, what's the chances that you run into another engineer or someone that's in your same discipline at a real estate conference? And then years later, it's like, oh, you also happen to be Christian because the people that you're going to see, they have similar values that align. And it's that nothing is done to reject anyone and nothing's done in malice. It's just there's something beautiful about coming in agreement. And whether it's through dialogue, whether it's through engagement and interaction, I think people gravitate towards that. And there's that openness where it's you take what you can keep and you leave what you don't need. And I think Miss Cora's got me over here dropping bars. So whether you guys were MCs earlier on or just it just stays in the blood and in the mind, it's like, I'll take it. I'll take it.
Yes,
absolutely.
Awesome. This was awesome, guys. Thank you so much.
Thank you for the opportunity.
You're very welcome.